Welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Get in on the conversation. Call 1-877-669-1292.
I'm Howie Silbiger. This is the Howie Silbiger Show right here on the True Talk Radio Network. You could get in on the conversation if you feel like it. You could call, number to call, 1-877-669-1292. That's 1-877-669-1292. As McGill University continues to pander to the terrorists, or terror supporters at least, that have set up encampments on their campus, it is extremely disturbing to see that it is escalating, that the problem is escalating. And it's escalating in a way that we predicted right here on the show. So today, a group of socialists pretending to be pro-Palestinian protesters decided to occupy an administrative building for several hours over what it said was the university's failure to comply with the demands of the ongoing encampment at the school's downtown campus. So around 7 p.m. tonight in Montreal, Montreal Riot Squad officers entered the building, and police officers could be seen leaning against third-floor windows where student occupiers had been standing previously and hung banners and flags. This is news I'm getting from the Gazette, from the Montreal Gazette. A crowd of hundreds of protesters and onlookers had surrounded the building but were forced back shortly after 7 p.m. after police sprayed a chemical irritant. One protester, who identified herself as Zaza, said she was standing about 1 meter from the riot police line when the officer in front of her took out a canister and sprayed her in the face. The irritant didn't seem to dissuade the protesters. As the dozens or so that had been sprayed moved back, others moved immediately to face the officers, chanting, "There is no violence here. Why are you in riot gear?" On social media, protesters searched for remedies to lessen the sting of the chemicals. Around 7:30 p.m., protesters began moving large items towards police lines. This prompted a much more thorough deployment of chemical irritants, forcing protesters away from the building. Police charged a crowd of protesters. Some wore rain ponchos, others held umbrellas. After the students using fencing to box the police in, the police used more chemical irritants, and they banged their shields and pushed the protesters along towards the encampment near the rotted gates. Now, protesters in the crowd had earlier, in the occupation of the building, banged drums and chanted slogans such as "Stop the funding now," "We are the revolution," "Genocide is crystal clear," and "Sani, Sani, take a side," referring to McGill President Deep Sani. The students blocked the building's entrance with fencing and shelving units that supported potted plants. In front of another door, protesters had linked arms as police looked on. They hung sheets painted with slogans and a Palestinian flag from the open window on the third floor. At least six protesters stood at these windows, their faces covered with keffiyehs and goggles. Meanwhile, below, a line of riot squad police officers blocked the entrance to the building. Before entering the James Administration Building, officers stood calmly staring ahead as protesters shouted shame at them and shame on McGill. A young woman who identified herself as an organizer of the barricade and a spokesman for the Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights said that the action was organized out of frustration with the McGill administration's refusal to meet the demands of the encampment, which has been a fixture on the downtown campus for almost 7 weeks now. The protest began in late April following similar protests on university campuses. These have been in response to Israel's war with Hamas, the Gaza-based terrorist organization that on October 7th invaded and killed more than 1,200 people. The Israeli war has led to the deaths of more than 34,000 people, according to the Hamas. So if we want to take Hamas at their word, if you want to take the terrorist organization that Israel's fighting against at their word, the Gazette is taking them at their word. They claim that 34,000 people have been killed in that war. Now, the Society for Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights spokesman said that she's a McGill student but declined to give her name for safety reasons. She said, "Our administration is complicit in funding and propping up this genocide, and have refused to meet the demands of the students after 41 days of this encampment being set up." She said the students inside the building were willing to stay until their demands are met. The demands have been for McGill to break financial and academic ties with Israel. "Our students are putting their bodies on the line," she said. We don't want our tuition money to be used to invest in weapons manufacturing companies that are now dropping bombs on children in Gaza, she said. People who are part of McGill community have blockaded and occupied the James administration building to protest the ongoing escalation in Rafah and the massacres and crimes that are being perpetrated against the people in ongoing genocide. Rama Al-Mala, a member of the Group for Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights at McGill, told the Gazette in a phone interview. But also to protest our administration's ongoing complicity in funding and propping up this genocide financially and politically. She said the occupation is also intended to protest the university administration's failure to comply with the demands made by members of the ongoing encampment at the university's downtown campus. Asked about the large police presence on campus, Al-Mala, who said she didn't know how many protesters were inside the building, said participants were committed to not being moved until their demands were met. In a terse emailed statement on Thursday evening, McGill said protesters are currently occupying the main administration building on the downtown campus at McGill. Police and security forces are on site. Protesters have set up a barricade outside the building. So this is what happens when you placate radicals. This is what happens when you allow an encampment to be on your campus for 7 weeks. This is what happens when you legitimize, a cause over everyone else's cause. You legitimize a cause and you allow this cause to take over life on your university campus. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how this pro-Palestinian farce that's going on, because none of these people are pro-Palestinian. Well, maybe a couple, but not the majority of them are not pro-Palestinian. The majority of them are socialists and communists and anarchists who want to push another cause and just co-opted this cause to get the publicity and to wreak havoc, of course, because that's what they do. Remember Black Lives Matter? Remember Occupy Wall Street? It's the same people. The idea here is quite simple. They are going to transition this cause now from being pro-Palestinian, because that was just a farce, that was just the door opener allowing them in. They're going to transition now to police brutality. You're already starting to hear it. You're already starting to see it when the protesters are standing up to the police and saying, hey, why are you in riot gear? Nobody's violent here. You're going to see the next protest by the same people. So they're going to take their keffiyehs off and they're going maybe they'll wear masks over their faces because they're cowards and they don't want anyone to know who they are. It always makes me laugh a little bit. Not very much because it's not a funny situation, but it always makes me laugh a little bit when protesters wear masks on their face. Because if you want me to take you seriously and to believe that you actually believe in the cause, and to believe that you actually think that the cause is a legitimate cause, why would you be covering your face? I sit here in front of a camera and I make statements and I support causes and my face is fully visible because I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing. I'm not afraid to say what I'm saying and I'm not ashamed of what I say. The show is called the Howie Silbiger Show because that's actually my name. Because I'm not afraid to say what I think and not afraid to express my opinion. It seems to me to be a little odd that all these protesters, it's not only at McGill, but protesters right across the board, are covering their faces. They're hiding their identities. What are they afraid of? If their cause is just and if what they're doing is true, and if they're yelling genocide, that Israel's committing a genocide, and they actually believe that, which is debatable if they do or don't, then why are they hiding their faces? What are they afraid of? Take your rags off your head and show your face. Stand up and say, my name is, whatever your name is, and this is why I'm here. I support this cause. When you cover your face, all you're doing is saying, I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing something that's not right. I'm doing something that's going to get me punished and I don't want to get into trouble. Wow, what a bunch of brave activists those are. So impressed. Unbelievably impressed by them. Won't even put their name to their activism. I can respect activism. If you believe in the cause and you're fighting for the cause, I can respect that. But none of these people are fighting for a cause that they believe in. They co-opted a cause that they figured they could run with, and they ran with it. Now it's running out of steam, so they're moving on to something else. But if you're going to cover your face while you're protesting, then you don't really believe in what you're protesting. You don't really think what you're doing is right, and you know that you're doing wrong. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. I'm Harry Silberg. If you want to get in on the conversation, you could do so by giving me a call. 1-877-669-1292 is the number to call. 1-877-669-1292 to get in on the conversation. Here on the Howie Silberger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Look, we saw university campuses across North America. We saw them rip down these encampments. We saw them eject the people who are living in the encampments and rip them down. I'm really surprised, and you know, I'm actually shocked by this, that the homeless people haven't tried to join the encampments or haven't set up their own encampments on the university campus. Why wouldn't they try? Why wouldn't they just do it? If the McGill, if these non-students, because majority of the people living at the McGill on campus aren't students, they're paid activists, they're people who made a career out of co-opting causes and then destroying them and wreaking havoc. So if those people are allowed to live on campus, allowed to set up a tent and live there, why can't homeless people do that? It might be a solution to Montreal's homeless problem. Put up tents on McGill, on university campuses, McGill, UQAM, Concordia, and allow homeless people to live there. If you're going to allow these people to live there, why can't you allow homeless people to live there? They'd be safe. You have security, nice fenced-in area. I mean, I don't understand why we're not pushing for that to happen. Because if university campuses are going to become the hotbed of radicalism, which they've been for a long time now, I'm just going to back up for a second. Because university campuses are supposed to be a model of education. They're supposed to be teaching. They're supposed to be an educational institution. And I don't think they really are anymore. And I'm not one to really criticize universities. I really couldn't care less. I'm done with my university years, so it doesn't really bother me. The next generation will be taking over, and they've already been destroyed by the university system. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're all screwed anyway. But when I look at the university students who are talking about this cause or any other cause that they're standing for, but particularly this one. And they use the word genocide. I always wonder, do they understand what a genocide is? Do they understand anything about the region or anything about Israel or anything about anything that's going on there? And the answer is no, they really don't. Because the truth is, on October 7th, after the brutal attack by Hamas, which killed over 1,200 Israeli citizens, men, women, and children, in the most brutal fashion, decapitating them, burning them alive, shooting babies in front of their parents and parents in front of their kids, standing on top of bodies, mutilating bodies, raping people, killing people, raping bodies. Horrific what happened on October 7th. If Israel wanted to eliminate the problem altogether and commit a genocide, that genocide could have been done in less than an hour. Less than an hour, the entire Gaza would have been rubble. Every single person living in Gaza would have been dead. And Israel would have rid themselves of that problem. They would have become a genocidal state. And the world would have condemned them until the next thing came along and the world forgot about it. But Israel did not do that. Israel mobilized troops and sent troops into Gaza because they didn't want to kill innocents. They warned people to get out of the way. The troops were coming. They did everything in their power to try to minimize the loss of civilian life. Yes, it's very unfortunate and it's very true that sometimes there is collateral damage during wars. Sometimes a munitions truck blows up. Sometimes a missile goes the wrong way or a bullet goes the wrong way and you kill the wrong person. That happens. It's an unfortunate side effect of war. And unfortunately, innocent people die in wars. It's a horrific fact of war, which is why wars are horrific to start with and really should not be conducted anymore. But sometimes you got to go to war. Sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes you have an enemy that's so evil and so bad that you have no choice but to go to war and to eradicate this enemy. And that's really the situation Israel's in right now, where they have no choice. They have to eradicate Hamas. Hamas has vowed to destroy Israel, has vowed to kill every man, woman, and child who is a Jew, not only in Israel, but around the world. It's time to get rid of Hamas. Now, you're never going to fully eradicate that philosophy. That philosophy's been around for, the Hamas philosophy has been around for a century. So you're not going to eliminate the philosophy. But if you take away their ability to commit terror attacks against Jews, you might slow down their purpose, slow down their mission to kill and commit a genocide against the Jewish people. They want to accuse Israel of committing a genocide when they're openly calling for a genocide of the Jewish people. And the horrific part about the whole thing is not so much that Hamas wants to commit a genocide, because it's nothing new since 1983 when they were founded. They've been very clear about the fact that they want to commit a genocide against the Jewish people. That is not the scary point. The scary point is you have university students who are yelling at Israel that they're committing a genocide against the Palestinians, against the Gazans, against the Palestinian people, without acknowledging or even knowing that Hamas's full intention is to kill every Jew anywhere in the world. Now, if they do know and they're not acknowledging it, or if they do know and they're still supporting Hamas and they're still yelling, "We are Hamas," on university campuses, then we have an even bigger problem than I thought we did. Because if university campuses, if students at university understand that Hamas's goal is the complete genocide of the Jewish people and are still yelling, "We are Hamas," and still wearing T-shirts and still having encampments supporting Hamas, then Jews are in grave danger in North America. Because then a genocide against the Jewish people could happen at any time in North America. Then we have a issue of the safety of the Jewish people, and maybe it's time for airlifts. Maybe it's time to get Jews out of North America. Because if the average person feels that they are Hamas, and Hamas's goal is the eradication of the Jewish people, Hamas's goal is the killing of all Jews everywhere. So if that's the case, and it's true, then it's time for the Jews to go. Then Jews can't stick around. Because then you have a whole lot of people in North America who have made it their mission, their religious mission, to murder Jews. It sounds scary. It is scary. It should be totally unacceptable. And university campuses shouldn't allow this kind of thing to happen. They shouldn't allow these encampments to stay there. McGill has allowed this encampment to stay way too long. And now it's branching out. And we're seeing the results of that branching out. How do you get rid of it? The court said that McGill can't rip it down. But why did it go to court? Because I don't even know why it went to court. McGill's private property. McGill should have a right to say, on our campus, you can't do that. They have a code of conduct for their students, which tells their students that you're not allowed to do certain things on campus. They have a security force, a police force, a campus police, who enforce the rules on campus. Why can't they just remove the encampment? Why did it have to go to court? Well, maybe the encampment people brought it to court. I don't know. I didn't follow that story. So maybe the encampment people brought it to court, and McGill was kind of stuck. But the Minister of Education works under the Premier of the province. And the Premier of the province already said publicly at a press conference that this encampment at McGill is an illegal thing and should be dismantled by the police. So why isn't the Montreal mayor insisting that her police force dismantle the encampment? It's a great question. It's a question that many people are asking now. A question the mayor keeps answering. I prefer to use diplomatic points than physical points. I don't want to send the police in to do this. I want to do this diplomatically. But we see what diplomacy has led to: the occupation of the James Administration Building, to the riot squad having to go in and clear out people who had occupied the building. This is where appeasement, this is where apathy, and this is where negotiating with terrorists leads you to. More terrorism, more fighting, more violence. It's time to stop appeasing these people. It's time to stop pretending that they actually have a cause, pretending that they actually care about the cause that they're pretending to care about. And it's time to start taking action. It's time to remove this encampment at McGill. It's time to arrest the people who are in the encampment. It's time to say enough is enough. Failure to do so is a sign of weakness. Failure to do so is a sign that you don't care about your Jewish population. You don't care about democracy. You don't care about the free exchange of ideas. I don't know what you care about, McGill. I have no idea what you care about, but it's definitely not freedom. It's definitely not free speech. It's definitely not equality. It's definitely not inclusiveness. You've taken a side, and universities should never take a side. I'm Howie Silberger. It's the Howie Silberger Show. Thanks for joining me. See you again next time.